You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Ready? All set. This morning. Great to see you here today. We are going to begin with some announcements. And first of all, I'm going to apologize because I had forgot that our annual meetings are usually held after church so we can serve chicken and noodles. And then we get more people to stay because they're enticed to stay for chicken and noodles. So instead of 9 o'clock for the annual meeting, I haven't even approved this with those in authority, so I'm going to make an executive decision. So we're going to have our annual meeting after church. I think we did it last year, and I was reminded of I totally forgot. So after church next Sunday, stay for the annual meeting. And if you're not a member, please stay and visit and sit in on the meeting and just listen to what God is amazingly doing with this ministry that he's called us to. And then you're going to have the famous chicken and noodle meal. It's not soup if you've never had it, trust me. But it is more starch than you can ever imagine. And it is so tasty. So thank you very much for those who helped us make noodles yesterday. We had the fellowship hall full of noodles drying and just a really great time of just doing that. And thank you, too, for those who came to our quarterly night of worship last night and helped with that. It was just a real precious time just to be together and to pray together and to worship together. So thank you. So our annual meeting is after church, not before, next Sunday. Okay. So come to church as normal. Then we'll have our meeting, and then we will have our appreciation meal, because Julie and I really do appreciate all that you do and how you bless us time after time after time. We are very grateful that you have us here. So, on the top of our bulletin, if you'd like to look at the announcements, Thursday morning Bible study group, who are studying the armor of God at 7, will now be changing back to Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. and doing the discovery study, and everyone is welcome. Also, next Saturday is our Poplar Ridge concert and silent auction fundraiser for the youth group. We have just an amazing youth group with lots of kids and great leaders, and we just really want to come alongside and raise money, and we've got a lot to do this year and to prepare for all that God is going to be doing in the lives of these kids. So that auction and concert, the concert's at 7. Bidding will begin on the auction items at 3 and run right through the intermission. And if you'd like to donate items, please have them to the church. There are some that are accumulating in my office, and that's awesome. I'd love to see it so I couldn't even get in my office. It would be great. And if you have any items that you'd like to bring, please do that or let Julie know. Also, the Marriage Mentors will be selling supper tickets. We are blessed with having Lou. For those of you that know Lou, him and Rebecca had the drive-in. They ran the drive-in. They're going to come and cater a meal for us. And there is a poster here. Just showed up in my pulpit. It's amazing how that happens. But we're going to be selling tickets. There are two choices, just to tempt you a little bit. First one is Old Bay seasoned salmon fillet accompanied with coconut rice, pineapple salsa, and asparagus. And if any of you have ever had that Lou made, I took a picture of mine before I ate it. I've never done that before. I think Lou thought I was a little crazy, but just about everything he made, I took pictures of before I ate it. And then the second choice is pecan crusted chicken. There is two options. I even mentioned, I don't think I told Julie this, but I think I'm just going to buy two tickets so I can have one to go at home. I'm just kidding. I might, but I don't know. I might not be kidding. Any other announcements this morning? Ida.
I'd like to stop spaces with you ladies, so I would like to have a meeting. I promise it will be a quick one to set up more plans for our women meeting this Sunday. So come to the front row over here, and we'll talk more about our plans. Thank you.
Okay, so right after church, come to the front row, all you ladies, and Ida will talk to you. Thank you, Ida, very much for doing that. Okay, anything else this morning? Christy.
I know most of the youth know about this, but we'll be doing our ski trip February 18th, 19th, 20th. We do have chaperones and everything. I'm not sure on the cost, but we'll be leaving Saturday morning and coming back Sunday real early, pretty early morning. Coming back Monday.
On Monday, okay.
February
18th, 19th, and 20th, there will be a youth ski trip to... You stay at Blue Water. Okay. Ski all day Sunday, come back Monday then. Okay, great. in Duluth and stay at Blue Water. That's an awesome trip. Very good. Thank you, Christy. Anything else this morning? Julie. Okay. Apple pie. I saw it in my office. Okay. Sounds good. So if you have a baked item that you would put on the auction, just call Julie or email her and she will make the little poster for it.
You're baking it at your leisure.
Baking it at your leisure. I like this leisure word. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Anything else this morning? Okay. Renee, would you come up? And is the cordless mic way in the back again? No? Is it up here? I see it there. Okay, great. Thank you.
Also next Saturday, I am going to host a scripture doodle / Bible journaling, not really a class, but like get together at my house at 10 o'clock. For all you ladies, if you want to come join me, you don't have to bring anything except for something to color with or on and some tools, and we're just going to have some coffee and chat, and you're all welcome if you want to come. The scripture for today is Mark 12, 28 through 31 from the Amplified Version. I am battling a cold, so just bear with me if I have a hard time breathing. Then one of the scribes came up and listened to them, disputing with one another, and noticing that Jesus answered them fitly and admirably, he asked him, which commandment is first and most important of all? Jesus answered, the first and principal one of all commands is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God out of and with your whole heart, and out of and with all your soul, and out of and with all your mind, and out of and with your own strength. This is the first and principal commandment. The second is like it, and it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. All right, prayer requests.
Anyone have a prayer request they'd like to share?
I'm just real grateful to the Father. They were able to give me new medication to mix with a medication I was already taking, and it started working, and I'm so thankful.
Thank you, John. It's great to have you here.
I'd just like us to be praying for our family in the loss of our nephew, Sean. He lived out in California. My sister and my brother Doug's son, Sean, he was 55 years old. He battled alcoholism since he was a teenager, and Lori found him in his home, Dad, so it's really been hard for her. So if we could please lift her up in prayer. And he has a son named Pierce, and he's 13. Lori adopted him 4 years ago.
Thank you, Peggy.
I talked to Scotty the other morning, and he's doing very well. Just visiting with him lately. He's really having some great things happening, and he gives God the credit, and so do I, and I think we can continue to pray for him, but good things there.
That's good. I did talk to him, too, and he said he's going to be moving to Crookston. Yeah, so to pray for that move. Anyone else, too?
Rhonda Shostrand would be Scott's sister. I don't know what her married name is, but she has stage 4 cancer that's metastasized into a couple other places. Hope is her daughter, and I have been in contact with her a little bit. So if we could please lift her up.
Thank you, Julie. Anyone else?
Bev.
I'd like prayer for Cheryl Muir. She's in the hospital in Grand Forks. She'll be there for 3 to 7 days. It's a bad case of diverticulitis, and she's on antibiotics and morphine for the pain.
Okay, thank you. I'll be there shortly.
I know some of us doing the prayer and fasting, I know they have a deep request, so I pray for all the unspoken prayer that they utter this the next 3 weeks, so thank you for that.
Thank you, Ida.
Just continued prayer for all those who are hurting and dealing with depression and mental health issues.
Thank you, Lisa.
I have it on my heart to pray for a fellow named Mike. He's the owner of Wheeler's Point Resort, and he's not much older than I am, and he has a special rare form of cancer. And his wife is really working hard to help him, and he's still working his job, but I think we need to pray for him.
For Mike. Yeah, thank you, John.
Julie has one again.
Okay.
Sorry, I forgot for Kay Berrick also. She was battling pneumonia this week, and I believe looking at being transferred to the nursing home close to her daughter, but we want to keep her lifted up in good healing.
Thank you. I did just talk to Kay right before church, and she sounds much better, but not sure yet when she gets to leave for the nursing home to recover. So she said to say hi to everyone. Anything else this morning?
Okay.
Oops, sorry.
Yes, could we please be lifting my daughter-in-law, Britta, up? She up in prayer because she has her baby on the 23rd. It's her fourth C-section. And I just pray for her to have strength and not to be too wore out going into it with those three little boys that keep her so busy. So if we could be praying for her.
Thank you, Peggy.
Mark and Nikki Larson lost a little baby boy this week. She was about 18 weeks pregnant. And just something that's always kept so silent, but Nikki's just really shared it with people. And so if we could just remember to pray for them and their little boys that are trying to understand why. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Shannon.
Pray for all those living in Kennedy dealing with this water issues going on and for all the workers working on fixing it.
Yeah, thank you. They have the frozen water tower in Kennedy, so they're without water. Is that right, John? Yeah, it's pretty serious. See anyone else?
Nope.
Nope, okay.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, how we love you so much, Lord. You are such a good dad to us. You take care of us and provide for us, and you love us so deeply that we can never understand, Lord, or fathom. I just thank you, Lord, for bringing Kathy Johnson out today. I'm glad she's here and talking to her last night, Lord. I just thank you for seeing her sweet face again. I thank you also for seeing John Everly as well today, Lord. I'm so happy that his meds are getting figured out. I can't wait to see that smile return to his face and that joy that he has in his heart, Lord. I thank you for his strong spirit that you have brought him through this and not given up. He hasn't given up on you, but has walked with you through it. I pray for Sean, Lord, who has just died. Lord, I just pray for his wife and their son, Lord, that they would just lean on each other through this struggle this time, Lord. And I just ask that this disease will not continue in their family, that this bond will be broken, the chain will be broken, and they will just see glory through it somehow, through the testimony, whatever it may be, Lord. I just ask that you just give them strength. I also praise you for Scott Sjostrand and the progress that he has made, Lord. I just thank you for his heart that he has for you. I pray that he will continue to read your word and lift you up, and lift him up in your hands, Lord, and just hold him close to your heart and just help him stay strong when he's away from family and away from his hometown. I pray for Ron Trostrand, Lord, and their daughter, Hope. I just pray Hope will just stand strong in her faith, Lord, when times look rough and bleak and hopeless, Lord, that she will just reach out to you and call on your name and just carry her through this storm that she's going through. I also pray for Cheryl Muir, Lord, just help her with the pain that she's dealing with in the hospital. Wrap that blanket around her, Lord, and hold her close to your chest, and may she just feel your presence there in that hospital. I ask for visitors, Lord, to bring joy to her face and just smiles as well. I pray for the people who are fasting and are in so deep in prayer this few weeks. They have so many unanswered prayers, and they're so diligent, and they're so in love with you, Lord. I just ask that you show up in big ways in their lives, and the miracles will be shown across through every one of them. I thank you for their love that they have inside for you, Lord, to strengthen their relationship with you and just keep them strong and disciplined. I thank you for everybody that has prayed for Kay Vierick and has shown her just love. The community that we just lift each other up is outstanding, Lord. We are so blessed to have a community like this. I pray, Lord, that you just open the doors for her to go into the nursing home near her daughter, Lord. Just cure her of her lungs, of this pneumonia that she's facing. Get out all the junk and the crud that's inside of her, and just bring that smile back and bring her back home. I pray for Mike, Lord, and his wife, who are, again, dealing with cancer. I pray for patience with each other. I pray that they will lean on each other and pray together with you, and may they just make some outstanding memories and have some awesome conversations, Lord, and just know that you are the center of it all, Lord, and that you are there, and just that they will trust in you. I also pray, Lord, for Mark and baby as they're battling the loss of a little baby boy. We do not see the answers right now, Lord, but in the end, we'll all understand. I just pray that you just give them strength and wipe away those tears and just give them the courage to move on, and may they just fall more in love with each other through this trial. I also pray for little baby Nordine, Lord. I just pray for Britta. May she just have the strength to go through another C-section. It's so hard on her body, all those. I pray, Lord, that she will have the strength to heal, the strength to take care of the other three boys, and may Luke come alongside and just be there to take care of her and the little ones. I pray for Kennedy, Lord. May you just give the crew strength to fix the problem. I pray for the town, Lord, that they will just help each other and just have this time be a community time of growth. I pray for just the water tower itself, that it doesn't cost a lot of money to fix it all, and that it can be done quickly and efficiently with low costs. And finally, Lord, I just pray for everybody who's hurting, who's got depression and suffering mental health issues right now, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that they will just turn to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will just mute Satan and all the lies that he's trying to feed these people. I pray, Lord, that these young men and women and whomever else, Lord, just hears the truth, Lord, and just don't let them just listen to the lies, Lord, but just to really hear the truth and to feel your love and your presence, Lord, and just bring them through this and show them the light that's on the other side, and just have them reach your hand up to them, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Renee. If I could have the praise team come up for special music, and the ushers come forward for the offering, please. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for another opportunity to be together, to worship you. We ask, Lord, that you would just bless this offering, that you would guide us, Lord, as we give. And Father, we pray that everything that we do, every day we live, God, that we would give you glory, that we'd offer ourselves to you, Lord. We just praise you for the work that you do in our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen. Please join us singing Ancient of Days. Continue on singing God of Wonders.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Awesome in this place.
Everything around us, from social network to work and to entertainment of all different kinds, Lord. We just pray that you would settle our hearts and minds this morning, that we would allow you to be awesome in this place because you are. We pray that you would just help our ears to be attentive, our hearts to be open, our minds to be cleared of everything else, to just allow your spirit to work through the message and through the rest of our time of worship. Amen.
Please be seated. Before I begin, let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. You are awesome. God, help us to see just how amazing you are. Pray that you just reveal that, Lord, to us, that you would show yourself to us this morning, that your Holy Spirit would just fill this place, that we would feel your presence. God, as you call us to love ourselves, love our neighbor, and most of all, love you, help us to know, God, what that means for us and how we should live our lives. We praise you now and thank you, Father. Amen. As I was going through the part two of our little three-part series called The Great Commandment, I looked through Scripture and I found nowhere where actually we are commanded to love ourselves. It's kind of a given, isn't it? It's kind of like a default that if, like, you're born, we have this desire to make sure that we're taken care of, that our needs are taken care of, that we are comforted, and that it's just like it's our desire of nature. And yet there's so much corruption. Once again, Satan loves to just get into that and just corrupt that. Even the beauty of what it means to just love ourselves. The Bible doesn't tell us any specific way other than to look at Jesus Christ, to look at God and his amazing love. And that is what should change us. That is what should create in us this incredible love that is actually like threefold in my mind. You love God, you love yourself, and you love your neighbor. So as last week, if you weren't here, or just to refresh your memory, we talked about loving God with all our strength, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we also talked about loving our neighbor as ourselves a little, and how it's connected, and actually it's almost inseparable, that if you love God in that way, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. And so we asked ourselves this question: just how much should we love God? Now that may seem like a silly question to you, but really it's a serious question, because Jesus not only gives it as a command, but he said, it is the greatest command. I am commanding you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He said it is the most important one. So how can this commandment be brought into our daily lives? That is always my thought. How can we apply it? And the answer, as best as I can get it, is in my mind, is when you get up every morning and you go through every minute of the day, and even when you're sleeping until you wake up again, day after day, after week, after month, after year, you should love the Lord your God in complete surrender to him. In other words, everything you do, think, act, speak, desire, hope, plan, work, even rest, and breathe should be for the love of God until the day you die and you are in his very presence. And even then, in eternity, I believe Scripture refers that we will grow more and more in love with him every day for the rest of eternity. But that is what I believe a Christian life should look like. That is what I believe it should progress toward, loving God more every day. It's like we're on this path that God has put us on, and he is walking that path with us. And he says he will lead us, and he will guide us, and he will strengthen us and sustain us in his light and in that love to grow more and more in love with him. Because that love is what transforms us. That is what makes us who we are. God himself referred to himself as love. God is love. So why do you think that Jesus would say, this is the first and greatest, most important, Jesus says, commandment of all? And I believe, at least as I see it, that how we live our lives directly flows out of how we love God. In other words, the way you live your life will reflect just how much you love God. Think about these words that Jesus says about love, and it's taken from the Gospel of John. As I give you these words, I want you to think about how much God loves us. And then I want you to think about how much you should love God. It says, no greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. John 15:13. And then he finishes that off in John 15:14. He says, you are my friends, if you do what I command. First of all, he says, no greater love has no one than this, then he lay down his life for his friends. And then he says, and you are my friends, if you do what I command. And I'm going to leave you with that and talk about that next week. I want you to chew on it for a week. And so today we're going to focus mostly on, and basically, on how we should love ourselves. Even though Scripture doesn't command us to love ourselves, it's really obvious when you look through Scripture. How can you miss it? What does God think of you? And I'm going to challenge you today to do something that is very uncomfortable. I've challenged you to do it before, and I'm going to tell you about it after a while. The reason I feel we need to look seriously at this question about how should we love ourselves is because of another question. How can we know how to love our neighbor as God wants us to, unless we know how to love ourselves the way God wants us to? So then we can in turn love our neighbor as God wants us to. Sounds like a riddle, but it's really simple. When you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Because God is going to do something in your life with that love. It seems from what I see and from what I read in Scripture that how you see yourself affects how you will love your neighbor. That may sound like kind of crazy, but I'm convinced that one of Satan's greatest tools of deception is he wants to destroy our effectiveness or our witness, is convincing Christians not to like who they are, or even much less love themselves. And I think as we go on, you're going to see why and how easy that we are corrupted by that. Some of that devouring that Satan does, I believe, involves times when he's whispering to you that you're no good. God couldn't possibly use you. You still sin. Did you forget what you used to do? You still have doubts. You still struggle with temptation. And you definitely don't love God the way you should, so why should God ever want to use someone like you to love your neighbor? Those are the lies that we tend to believe as Christians, and so we struggle at times with even liking who we are, much less loving ourselves or our neighbors. So maybe you're like me, and in the thought of loving yourself, sometimes it seems kind of prideful, doesn't it? And man, I don't think I should be loving myself, because that seems prideful and it seems selfish and it's loaded with all kinds of possibilities of sin and self-centeredness. And there's the corruption that the world brings through so many areas right now, especially. As I read from the Gospel of John about what Jesus was talking about in loving yourself, I believe that kind of love is God's agape love that has nothing to do with pride or selfishness, self-centeredness, but has everything to do with grace and forgiveness and unconditional sacrificial love. Sometimes we're the ones that are hardest at giving ourselves grace because we see just how ugly we can be at times. One of the deception tools that I believe Satan also has is being a lover of self, which is much different than loving yourself. Lover of self is actually taken from a Greek word, and it's philautos. It's not Philadelphia, which is brotherly love, but philautos, it's about loving yourself above all other things. It means to love yourself above God, above your neighbor. And yet loving yourself, as Jesus talked about, is just filled with compassion and kindness and grace, as I mentioned. Being a lover of self, however, is the first thing we're going to talk about. And I heard it once compared here not too long ago that being a lover of self is like a sewage pipe. It's like a sewage pipe which every other sin flows freely through it. Sins like greed. You want because you want. Sins like pride and selfishness and coveting and lust, and the list goes on that flows through that sewage pipe of being a lover of self. If you loved yourself in this way, then pride will flow out of your life and you will become consumed with the me first mentality. And that is so prevalent in our society. I don't know if you can miss that. Paul speaks to this in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Paul says, but mark this, Timothy, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous. Man, Paul has a long list here. Rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. Listen closely to that. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Paul even goes so far as to say, have nothing to do with them. Strong words. Sounds intolerant, doesn't it? The world is screaming for tolerance. Scripture says there are times we need to be intolerant. And there's a reason, because it flows out of love and it doesn't flow out of a lover of self. Loving yourself, however, as Jesus described it, is loving yourself the way God loves you, as his child, redeemed to become Christ-like in character. Sins like pride and selfishness and coveting and greed and all that long list have no part in loving yourself as God intends you to have. For it's out of God's great love for you that you love him. It says it's not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus came to pay for those sins. So why should we live in that? As I said a few months back, one of the most hardest and most impactful writing experiences that I had was that I had to write a love letter from God to me. And it helped me to envision the value and love that God has for me. And I've challenged some of you to do that. And if you haven't done that love letter from God to yourself, I'm going to ask you to do it this week. There's a deadline now. Papers due next Sunday. And you have to turn it in. No, I'm kidding. But I would just encourage you to take this week, if you can set stuff aside. I want this to be the most meaningful time of this little three-part series. I would just love it if you just sit down, write a love letter from God to you. And start the letter off with dear whatever, your name. Put your name in there, dear. Put your name in there. And proceed to write according to Scripture how God feels about you. And then end it with love your dad or papa or Abba or father. I dare you to do it. I am challenging you, and I really want to encourage you to do this. If at all possible, start on it this week. Start on it today. Sit down. Start searching Scripture. It's a simple exercise, but it is very challenging. It's one that impacted me so incredibly because it made me fall more in love with Jesus. It made me realize that who I am, I'm a child of God. It's not anything that I have done. It is totally by his grace that he would call me his. And I'll just give you one example of what I did in my letter. I took John 3:16, probably the most common one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. So I took, for God so loved Galen that he gave me Jesus, that I would love him and that I would live with God forever. He did that for me. And he did that for you. For God so loved me that he gave me Jesus, so that I would believe in Jesus and that I would not perish, but I would live with God forever. What a gift. I don't think, there's so many times we sit here and I don't think we get it. I know I don't. I'll go through days where I don't realize how much God loves me. I get caught up in the distractions of this world and I forget. And I have to keep reminding myself, for God so loved me that Jesus died. God sent his one and only son so that I could live forever, have eternity with him, and just share in that incredible love that is going to take all of eternity to understand. So take John 3:16. Start with that. Start your letter out with that. And then I would just challenge you, go to Psalm 139. Go to Psalm 139 and talk and hear how God made you. He knew you before you were born. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows every moment that you are going to live until you are in his presence. What kind of a father is that? That's a holy father. Then go to Psalm 91. Beautiful psalm. He will guard his angels concerning you personally. You personally. He is setting angels for you personally to guard you in all your ways. He's commanding those angels. You watch over them. You take care of my children because I love them. Then I would challenge you to go to Ephesians 4 and 5 and 1 John. And I can't even tell you, the list grows and it grows. I think if I sat down to write a letter now, it would take me literally a month without stopping just to write and write. There's over 500 scriptures that talk about his love for us. It's incredible. What kind of a father do we have? A holy father who loves us so much. I would like to close today by just setting the table for next Sunday as we speak about loving our neighbor. And I want to do that by looking at a couple of passages in 1 John. And it begins again, that word friends, laying down a life for a friend. And then Jesus calls us friends. And now John writes, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And then also from 1 John 4:19 through 21, John once again says, "We love because he first loved us. It's not because of anything in us, it's because he loved us first. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command," and it is a command, "whoever loves God must also love his brother." I'd like to just leave you with just one little simple truth. As I don't believe you can love yourself or your neighbor as God intends you to until you know and love God. So I would ask that this week that you would ask God to reveal his love to you. There's a passage in Lamentations that is as beautiful and talks about his mercies are new every morning. That no matter what you go through this day, tomorrow his mercy is new again. And that never ends. Never. My desire is that you would want to know more about Jesus, and that you would love him more every single day of your life. Would you please pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for the love that you have provided. We are grateful that you loved us first, that we can love you back, that we could love ourselves and our neighbors, and that we could live in that love, Lord, that we would be a light unto the world, that we would be your hands and feet. And as we look next week of what it means to love our neighbor, when we look at this calling that we have, and Lord, and that's for every single one of us. First of all, to know your love and to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, you say, is like it, Jesus, you say, and love yourself, or love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. God, speak to us this week. Help us, Lord, as we sit down to write these love letters to you, to ourselves from you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just be at work in the hearts and the lives of every single one here. Challenge them, Lord, to sit down and do this. Father, I know you want to reveal your love to us. You give us the greatest love letter of all time, your holy word, who you say is, this word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Help it to cut deep, Lord, inside us, to remove any sin in our lives, any prideful thoughts, and fill us with grace and mercy and compassion, not only for our neighbor, but for ourselves as well. Loving you with our whole heart, Lord, that's what we ask. We thank you for all that you provide. Give us a desire to know more about you and your amazing love. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please stand and sing with us hymn number 333. 333, More About Jesus.
Jesus in his word.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, and we pray that we would fall more in love with you every day, that you'd help us to know that love and to love those around us, God, as you desire us to. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.